morning, everybody. Matt Pavala with you here. 720 WGN. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here on the Magnificent Mile in the Tribune Tower building. It was about a month ago that we chatted with Robert Bartholomew. He's in New Zealand. He's a sociologist. He's a fellow with the Center for Inquiry in Amherst, New York. Hey, Robert, how are you this morning?
Great. The weather here in New Zealand is nice.
It is. Or what is it, like 10 o'clock at night on Saturday night in New Zealand?
That would be correct.
Man, you are so far ahead of us. You're in the future.
Yeah, I'll try to give you some stock tips.
That would be great. That would really be great, actually. That would be nice. All right, so we talked about a month ago because there was this alleged attack, or whatever we're calling it, the bunch of embassy workers for the U.S. Embassy in Havana and a couple of Canadian workers there, fell ill in some way. And what was sort of described as what could possibly be some sort of acoustic attack. They had issues with headaches and different things like that. And for some reason, it was described as a possible acoustic attack. We talked to you about a month ago. You said there's no such thing as an acoustic attack. And this is what you termed as mass hysteria. Explain to us again what you told us about a month ago about what your theory was on what might have happened down there.
Well, you've got these 24 embassy diplomats in Cuba and a few Canadians as well feeling unwell and being associated with hearing strange sounds. It's been going on since last November, just after Donald Trump was elected. And the interesting thing is I've been in contact with there's a committee in Cuba that has been studying the claims, because Cuba has denied this group of experts. And in my contact with the committee, they've told me that every single one of the 24 diplomats reported hearing a sound. You don't always hear that when you see some of the news reports, but they said with their contacts with the American officials and the information they've gathered, everybody heard sounds associated with their illness. Acoustical weapons are very, they don't work very well. There's the research on acoustical weapons has been stunted in recent years because they just don't work well. And to have an acoustical weapon, it would have to be very large and it would be very conspicuous. And the 99% of the acoustical waves would bounce off the outside of the building and the inner walls. You just can't target someone with like an acoustical ray gun or something like you might see on James Bond. It is not consistent with the known laws of physics and all the research that's been done. People keep emailing me about, oh, there are these secret government programs designed to develop acoustical weapons, and they've done this and they've done that. I've looked at the military journals on this, and there's no evidence whatsoever that these weapons exist. And there is a consensus among scientists that it's just not possible.
All right. Well, let me ask you that. Let's go ahead and put on our tin hats here and let's go crazy with this for a second. Let's say so there are actual dog whistles that you can whistle and get your dog because they hear at a higher frequency than we do. Right. Are there sounds that could be made that aren't necessarily perceptible to us that would give us illness, a headache or maybe affect us in some way? Maybe not a weapon that would drop you dead or knock you out like a taser, but are there things that sounds that can be made that do give us a feeling of nauseousness that we don't perceive necessarily because it's at a frequency that we don't quite pick up on in the same way?
That's been found in studies where it can make someone somewhat nauseous and somewhat anxious. And that's about it. But you see, what's being reported is that these are in people's homes. This is not in the embassy. The embassy isn't being targeted. It's embassy personnel when they go home, or when they're at these two hotels in Cuba. Now, these two hotels have a total of about 750 rooms. They have over 1,000 occupants in the busy time. These are massive places. There's going to be noise going on all the time. There's going to be, on any given day with 1,000 people there, there's going to be some people that don't feel well. And you're going to be hearing noises. And in retrospect, you know, it's all very, very vague. And here's the thing. For months and months, we've been told that these symptoms were caused by a sonic weapon. Now they're claiming to have found changes in white matter tracks in the brains of some of these embassy personnel.
Right.
And when you look at this, it's like, wow, it looks like Mr. Bartholomew is wrong. And it appears to confirm that there was an acoustical attack, but it confirms just the opposite. Because if you look at the facts, the research that's been done with white matter in the brain, there's no evidence whatsoever that white matter in the brain is affected by acoustical waves. In fact, you have these cranial scans that use ultrasonic waves in the brain. There's no white matter issues whatsoever. And there's been millions of these done over the years. It just doesn't make any sense. But you got to remember, these are the same people that claimed there was a sonic weapon involved. But half of those symptoms that are associated with the sonic weapons aren't associated with sonic weapons. They're claiming all these symptoms, but half of them aren't even associated with them. And half of them I've probably had in the last week. These are very vague, very general symptoms, difficulty concentrating, memory problems, insomnia, headaches, fatigue. And then they talk about mild brain trauma. Acoustical waves do not cause brain trauma. And now they're talking about they're going to publish an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association about these white matter issues. Well, first of all, you've got to submit the article, which they haven't submitted it. It's got to be accepted. It's going to be months before any article comes out, if it even is accepted. And I'm waiting to see what they're claiming is happening. But whatever they're claiming is happening are not symptoms of sonic acoustical weapons.
Well, and they're not even saying that. So they're not even saying how many of the 24 people have these white matter issues. If it's three or four, I mean, that could be anything, right? It could be that maybe three out of every 24 people in the world have some sort of white matter issue, right? I mean, how specifically is white matter studied in the brain? Do you think that it's, you know, if it's only a few people, will that make you think that it's probably unrelated? Or do you think that maybe there's a chance there is some white matter issue related to something that happened to these people, but it's not necessarily acoustic in nature?
What we're dealing with here is a tiny sample size. I mean, they don't even tell us what that size is, but it's at least 24 and probably a lot smaller than that. There's no clear cause and effect relationship. Brain scans are not always definitive. They're open to interpretation. White matter changes in the brain are common as one ages, and they're associated with a litany of conditions. There's just no evidence that acoustic waves alter white matter tracks. And so I'm very skeptical, because we keep hearing claim after claim, but there's no evidence. They're not providing us with any evidence. And I'm always skeptical, but in particular, when you're dealing with the administration of Donald Trump, and they have this conspiracy theory mentality, you know, show me the evidence. I'm open-minded. I believe in being open-minded, but there's an old saying, when your mind is too open, your brain can fall out. I mean, you have to have temperament here, and you have to look at the facts, and you have to let the facts drive the investigation and not these wild speculative stories and theories that are out there right now.
Well, it is interesting, and I thought this from the beginning, and I haven't talked about it because I hate to. There's enough talked about with Donald Trump on what is on the record without having to go into anything like this. But I do wonder, because President Trump is seemingly out to undo every single possible thing that Barack Obama ever did. I imagine at some point he's going to get to shutting down Havana and shutting down. And he already has tried to limit the travel again. But I did wonder at the time if like something happened and, well, let's blame Cuba and this, you know, maybe people were just sick or whatever. But I wonder if the White House put more emphasis on, I bet there was an attack. I bet there's something here. And maybe that's why so much research is being done into that, instead of it maybe more easily being dismissed as a bunch of people fell ill or a mass hysteria type incident. Does the government acknowledge mass hysteria in the way that you've told me about before, or would they be reticent to ever say something was just a case of everybody, somebody got sick and everybody else thought they did the same thing?
I think at this point, and I'm pretty confident about this, I think that that's what they're being told by the FBI and the CIA, that this very well could be mass psychogenic illness. And the reason I say that is because a few days ago in Uzbekistan, of all places, there was a report that was leaked from embassy personnel that a couple of people associated with the embassy had been ill, and they heard strange noises and association with this, and they were evacuated back to the United States. And there was a belief that it may have been a sonic attack at the embassy there. And you have to be very careful when something like this happens. Look, your studios at WGN, if I started a story and it was reported and people believed that there were problems, health problems of people who have visited the studio, I bet you within 2 weeks you get a whole bunch of people coming out and saying, yeah, you know what, I did an interview there and I felt unwell as well. And people from the studio might be coming down with an illness. And it would be entirely psychological. The symptoms that are being reported among the personnel from the Cuban embassy are so nebulous and vague. And like I said, half of them don't correspond to any type of acoustical weaponry as imprecise and impractical and inaccurate as they are. And then you've got the issue of, well, how can you target a building or buildings or people in their homes when one person is affected and the person sleeping right next to them is not affected? Or, you know, you hear noises all the time. There's all kinds of noises going on. And it's been suggested by the Cuban government that these cicada-like and cricket-like sounds may actually have been cicadas and crickets.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we know for sure that there were people who reported being sick who had their spouse sleeping next to them in the same room who did not hear or get affected by anything?
Well, we have reports that have been leaked to the media that people were standing in one of these two hotels. These are huge hotels, mm-hmm, with lots of people inside, and that they heard a noise and they felt unwell, and that they were right next to other people.
Okay.
And the other people didn't fall sick and didn't necessarily hear the noise either. It just makes me very suspicious of all this. There just aren't any hard facts to go on here. All we're going on are leaked reports or stories that have been given by people inside the State Department. And it's all very nebulous at this point. There's just nothing concrete to go on. And you have to be very cautious when you're dealing with this stuff, because we're dealing with an international incident here where they're threatening to pull people out of the embassy. And your suggestion there that the Trump administration may be hyping this, I don't necessarily think they started it, but to hype this,
yeah,
with their Cold War conspiratorial mentality, I think that's very plausible, using it in an opportunistic manner for their own short-sighted political ends.
Well, and I think the same thing, quite honestly, about some of the relations with Mexico. So I vacation whenever I can on the in the Riviera Maya. And my wife and I have gone down for years on occasion. And there were stories earlier this year in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Americans getting sick at the hotels. And there was question about the alcohol. Are they being spiked? Are things happening? Mexico is actually, because there is there were other stories then about a high rate of illegal alcohol sold in Mexico that's not, not seen over in the proper way. Alcohol that's made illegally, things like that. And Mexico has cracked down on that. But these stories came out about people who have died in Mexico, people who have fallen ill, woken up in hotel rooms, how they're getting charged exorbitant rates to go to hospitals, things like that. And suddenly the State Department issued a travel warning for Mexico. It was kind of ignored for a while and then or at least dealt with. But then this travel warning came out from a couple of from these stories about the Riviera Maya area of Mexico. And I thought that was interesting. I wonder if these stories and you know, these things did happen. People have died and there have been unexplained sicknesses, whether it's people just drinking too much or it's bad alcohol or guys are spiking their drinks or whatever happens. Some things have happened. But then that there was a travel warning, I wondered, okay, was this a travel warning specific thing that needed to happen? Or was this Mexico's not paying for the wall? We'll show Mexico, that type of thing.
Yeah, the other thing is, remember, to many Mexicans, Americans might perceive them to be hostile toward them. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but a lot of Americans go over the border and vacation. And there's a perception there, perhaps, that Americans might not be that popular now, given, or they might be Trump supporters or whatever, right? Given the political climate. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you could get people, I mean, people get sick all the time going to Mexico, right? Drinking the water and right. eating foods they're not used to and stuff like that. Maybe it's been going on all along and people are just noticing it more. And then it's easy to develop a theory that, maybe they're doing something to us because we've had all these negative political vibes going down to Mexico. Well, maybe they're fighting back here. Some of those stories almost sound like urban legends and things like that, but it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you go there and you think it could happen, then you're kind of on the alert for anything. Just like if you go over to Cuba, after these sonic attacks supposedly begin, the State Department, I found this out, the State Department was issuing warnings privately to embassy staff before they went to Cuba that, hey, be careful. Some of our embassy staff are falling ill over there, possibly from a sonic weapon. Well, you get over there and you're going to hear noises and you might feel a bit unwell. You're in a new country, you're anxious. And to me, that easily could have been a self-fulfilling prophecy there that they set themselves up without really realizing it. And look, the same thing in Mexico there. If people are crossing the border and are fearful that maybe some Mexicans may take retribution for what the Trump administration is doing, you know, you feel ill anyway, but you start redefining this. I can remember when I first started teaching, and I taught at a school in Vermont, and there was an incident there where it was near the end of the school year, and they had this, a teacher left some coffee on her desk, and she left and came back, and she finished it, and then she felt a bit unwell. And then there was this circulation going around. Did anybody see anything that might have happened there? Perhaps a student spiked her drink. And I just thought to myself, you know, that's very unlikely. I can remember, this is at a high school now. I can remember a teacher coming in one morning and a student had placed a backpack by her door and walked off to do something. And she was inside her room and she was saying to me, she goes, backpack, that I wonder if there's a bomb in there. And I said, listen, I said, it's time to retire. I said, you got to get out. I said, you're reading too much into this. But, you know, things can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. We tend to see what we want to see. And, you know, you talk about eyewitness perception being very fallible? Well, ear witness testimony is also very fallible. In Cuba, you have people hearing these noises. And, you know, who knows? Is it a cicada? Is it a cricket? Is it somebody doing the laundry just down the two doors down?
Robert Bartholomew is a sociologist. He's currently located in New Zealand. Hey, I've got a break for the news real quick, but I want to ask you something. Something from what you said earlier makes me think of hypnosis. I want to ask you a question or two about that. Do you have a few more minutes to hang out?
Sure. Right. And during the break, I'm going to kill this spider that has just been making me nervous here.
Okay, you do that. And hopefully there won't be a mass hysteria now of all of our listeners in Chicago freaking out about the spider that's somewhere in their room right now. See if we hear from people.
Yeah, I just got it.
You got him. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, well, you hold on, Robert. You go take him to the garbage can right now before he regenerates and unleashes an acoustic problem for you. And now I'm itching my head, and I'm thinking about spiders. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that. It's 3:30 in the morning.
Let's that hanging down?
Stop it! We're going to check the news headlines now, Mr. Badish. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Snow is falling beautifully on Michigan Avenue right now. Be careful of that black ice, as Roger was mentioning. 312-981-7200. We're chatting with our friend Robert Bartholomew. I'm sorry. He's a sociologist. He's located in New Zealand. He's also a fellow with the Center for Inquiry in Amherst, New York. Robert, you are being called a kook on my text line. Another person said this guy is full of it, which is funny because you're the one saying nothing crazy is going on. The governments aren't out to get us. This is just normal phenomenon, whatever. And people are saying, oh, he's full of it. The government's out to get us. The Cubans are trying to get us, for God's sakes, people. And so that's interesting that you're being called the kook when you're trying to say the rest of this is kind of the kooky stuff. Right.
Well, look, you've got to follow the facts. I get students and parents saying things to me like global warming is a hoax.
Right.
95 to 97% of the scientific community has agreed that global warming is actually happening. About 90% believe it's man-made. There's no real debate about the reality of global warming. It's scientific consensus. And when you're dealing with science or vaccinations being safe and effective, and not causing autism, which there's no, concrete evidence that they do. When you deal with issues like this, Carl Sagan said, wherever we have strong emotions, we're liable to fool ourselves. And so we have to be careful in that regard. It's exciting and interesting to think that there are these James Bond-like sonic acoustical weapons out there. But if you're a scientist and you're a journalist, you have to deal with the facts and look at the facts. And the unequivocal, undisputed fact is that in 2017, that more than half of the symptoms that were being reported in Cuba have nothing to do with acoustical waves, and white matter abnormalities are very common, very common. And we still don't know any more about what they've told us in terms of facts about what they have allegedly found. I would be interested to see the facts. And once I see the facts, I'm willing to alter my interpretation of what's going on. But right now, the most plausible explanation is mass psychogenic illness. And again, remember, the people that are talking about white matter or changes and stuff like this, fine. They're the same people that were saying it's a sonic weapon. Really? It can't be a sonic weapon. It's not possible if we believe the known laws of physics in 2017 and all the research that's been done over the last several hundred years on these issues. It's just It doesn't mesh with the facts.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Is it impossible, or it's not something that we ever known of having been invented? We know of no sonic attack that causes these issues. It's never been invented. It's never been known or proven. That doesn't mean it's not possible or doesn't exist, right? I mean, if we're technically going to go by that, right? I mean, we don't know that.
I don't claim.
Okay, go ahead.
Somebody once said, they asked somebody once, do you believe in God? And they said, I do not profess to know what ignorant men are sure. So you just have to go by the evidence in the scientific consensus and what scientists are saying. Scientists are saying, and there's no record of ever in the history of the world, brain trauma being caused by acoustical waves. It just is not scientifically feasible with the known laws of physics, and there's no record of this ever happening. So you have to, but is it possible somebody could discover something? Sure. You have to keep an open mind to that. But my goodness, you have to follow the facts. Just like this Mueller investigation, you have to follow the facts, not what you think. You know, these aren't Flynn facts, right? These are the consensus of the scientific community. Show me cases and I'm willing to believe. Show me the dead alien and I'm willing to believe right. That we've been contacted by space aliens.
So a sonic weapon could occur, but or be out there. But if it is, the government has kept it quiet. We don't know about it. So until somebody says, hey, by the way, we did invent this thing. Here's how it works and here's what it does to people. Until then, we're going to assume that other answers are the most plausible.
And look, I've looked at the military journals on this.
But they're not going to write about it if it's a top secret weapon.
Yes.
Right?
Well, the problem is it's professors in the civilian world who do research on this. Mm-hmm. They all say that it's just very impractical, very inefficient. And how are you going to target an individual in a room in a hotel with a sonic device? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense with the known laws of physics in 2017.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you about something else, because you had mentioned like, if somebody says you're going to feel a certain way, you might end up feeling that way. If they tell all the diplomats headed to Cuba, hey, these weird things have been happening, be aware of it. Then you go to Cuba, then you're suddenly listening for noises. Then you traveled, so you don't feel well. You have different water. All these sort of things could happen that make you start thinking, oh my God, something's happening, right? So it made me think about hypnosis. In your mind, does hypnosis work at all? And if it does, is it possible that it is sort of a thing like, you know, oh, when you go to this place, here's what's going to happen. You're probably going to feel this certain way. People keep getting sick. And then that sort of is in your mind. So you do start to feel that way.
Well, I have to say, I'm not an expert on hypnosis, so that's out of my field of expertise. But what I will say is, my understanding of hypnosis is very concentrated focus. And, you know, the human imagination is very powerful. And there was a case that I looked at back in 1758 in Connecticut, where there had been some Indian attacks at a village, and I believe it was Windham, Connecticut. And this was during the French and Indian War. And they heard these sounds in the middle of the night, this village, that they thought French and Indian intruders were massing for an attack. And the locals all got together. They got their muskets. They got all the families together. And they waited anxiously throughout the night for the attack to come. They're all ready to go. And when morning broke and they sent a scout team over the hill, they found that it was caused by frogs croaking. But here's the thing. They actually, during that night, and this is well documented, it's a famous case in the annals of anomalistic psychology, is that there were a number of people in that group that actually heard people from over the hill. They thought they were referring to their names. and there were sentences and stuff that they heard what they expected to hear. And, you know, our mind sometimes plays tricks on us. And if you're in a house right now, it's 11:44 at night, and there's no other houses around where I am. And if there's nobody in the house right now and I hear a noise, I might get anxious. But if this is 2 o'clock in the afternoon and there's five people here, I'm not anxious at all. You know, the mind is very powerful. What is it Shakespeare said? Or in the night, imagining some fear, how easy is a bush, suppose it a bear. You know, you see what you want to see.
That's very interesting. It's very interesting. Has there ever been a big case that was thought to be mass hysteria that was ever then found out like, oh, there was something we didn't realize or something new or something, you know, do you ever think there's a case where something happens where there's all these people where you would think, oh, that must be mass hysteria. And then suddenly it's like, oh no, there actually was an explanation. Those people did get sick.
That's the first thing I think of because you have to. You have to assume that there's some toxic chemical there. You have to assume that there's a real sonic device, and this is possible because people's lives are at stake, and you have to assume the worst first. And that's what I always do. I assume the worst first. I went through, a lot of people have emailed me information about secret government stuff, about sonic weapons and things like this. And the first thing I did when I started looking at the episode in Cuba was, what is the literature on sonic devices, acoustical devices? You look at the experts, you go to the journals, you look at the medical journals, you look at the engineering journals and see what the experts are saying. And I don't know of anybody who disagrees, who's a member of the mainstream scientific community, a respected scientist, who does not agree that acoustic weapons, they're almost an oxymoron when you say acoustic weapons. The acoustic weapons that work the best are loud noise. I mean, that's the one that works the best.
Yeah.
There was a case, I might have mentioned it the last time, in the Philippines, where there was social unrest, and they were playing loud music to Katy Perry music to break up the riot that was going on. But when you look at the literature, I mean the consensus, it's more than a consensus. It's like, I don't know anybody. I haven't seen any articles that would disagree with what I'm saying here. It's overwhelming.
Do you think eventually this will come out as just mass hysteria? Do you think that the FBI or whenever an investigation is fully done, or do you think they would rather say it's unexplained and we're unsure?
I've got three words: freedom of information. It will come out because it's there right now. You just have to get it.
So you think in their official reports, it'll say this was probably just people all getting sick at the same time or feeding off each other?
Yeah, look, whenever anyone's health is in threatened, you have to keep an open mind to any possibility here. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're going to find is, or I'm going to find from these documents, is that the CIA and the FBI are, because they went down there and they looked. They looked through these rooms. And they have accused, the American government has accused Cuba of being involved in these cases. Donald Trump has accused Cuba as being involved in these attacks. And, you know, the FBI went down there. It was extraordinary that the Cuban government would let them go down. And they let them go down. And they also let the Royal Canadian Mounted Police go down and do all the investigations they wanted. And what they found was they found nothing.
Well, we'll keep following it. It will be interesting, and it will be interesting to see what gets released and what doesn't get released and how long it takes for the full answers to come out. Robert Bartholomew, our friend in New Zealand, how is New Zealand these days?
I would say, honestly, it's about 95% anti-Trump. They've done polls here. It's well over 90%. America has a real black eye over here. Mm. People are like, what is going on over there? And I mean, people are just violently against Donald Trump over here. It's just pervasive everywhere. Everywhere people are talking about it. And I try to tell them, I mean, it's, you know, having lived in the U.S., you know, people wanted change and people got what they wanted. You know,
yes, they
talk
did.
About, you talk about white matter changes, right? So maybe they should do a cranial scan of Donald Trump's white matter to see if, you know, what's going on there. But I guess you have to have white matter to begin with to scan. So.
Robert Bartholomew in New Zealand, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. We'll talk again, okay?
Okay, have a nice day.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone. Our friend Robert Bartholomew over in New Zealand, he's also a fellow with the Center for Inquiry in Amherst, New York.